You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
And now,
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. How's it going over there, Ben? How was your weekend?
Interesting, exciting, fun, not busy, kind of busy. How was yours? It was a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah, a lot of that. A lot of family. Can I tell you, though, like, I got drowned in hockey talk.
Okay.
Whenever the opportunity presented itself. Like soccer, when we're going to Sadie's soccer game, nothing but parents, mostly dads, I suppose, but parents buzzing about the team coming to town. A random person, I was wearing the same hat that I'm wearing right now, Ben, my Whalers hat.
Yeah.
And hanging, watching the kids play on the playground. Some random couple comes by and he's like, oh! Hockey's coming to town. and then proceeded to chat with me about it for like 45 minutes. Like people are excited. Anecdotally, people are stoked. We had other parents in the neighborhood over to, you know, bounce house it yesterday on a Sunday, fun day. And like hockey talk, buzzed about it coming. And I think it's cool. I think it's fun when the sports community has juice around here because we're really good at it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I don't know. It was good. We did a bunch of stuff as a family, given the Jazz, I guess the first weekend with the Jazz off. So, we took advantage of it. It was nice. And the weather was incredible.
You probably felt like me. I mean, the Jazz played last Friday, which is crazy that was last Friday.
Because it feels like a month ago.
The entire Utah sports landscape has completely shifted in the last 7 days. It's unbelievable. But Jazz played Friday. Saturday, they did some end-of-season stuff. We got to go talk to some players. News was already coming out that hockey was going to come around. Sunday, they played their last game. Monday was the Danny Ainge press conference. It's just like, and then worked all week. You know, it hasn't really felt like we've had back-to-back days off in a very long time. And there's no days off, but back-to-back days of, like, you didn't have to go to the arena to cover a game.
No.
I didn't have to be at the arena or watching a game to cover it. And even then, Friday, there was the big press conference with Ryan and Gary Bettman and Ashley and everybody.
I came back from the store it was yesterday. And my wife had hockey on with my two daughters. Like, we got to get into this thing. It's coming to town. I was like, wow, that's awesome.
It's
all right.
I already feel it.
Yeah,
like,
it's good.
I am not going to casually turn on the Stanley Cup playoffs because I'm a huge basketball fan. I love the playoffs. I will watch bad NBA playoff games. Don't care. I will throw them on and I'll watch the whole thing. I'm like checking NHL scores on my ESPN app. Like I'm like, for all of a sudden it hit me. Like it is totally in my bloodstream already. And I would have never done that in the past. I never would have cared. I wouldn't have known who's playing. And it just that quickly, I picked it up. And I think a lot of fans are going to do that.
Well, let's start with this and we can get to other stuff, NBA playoffs, et cetera. Your guy, Damian Lillard, going crazy. We can get into that, but let's start out. You were at the press conference on Friday. You were down there covering for the station and KSL Sports. How was your camera work? Did you end up doing that?
I'm having an issue getting stuff uploaded to the OneDrive, but other than that.
But you're the brother of like a world famous cinematographer. So like I would imagine there's some pressure on you just from that sense whenever you open up a camera.
Can I tell you, it's the most imposter syndrome I've felt in a very long time? Because you know Melissa, who's like the individual photographer at all the Jazz games who takes some of the great photos. Yeah. And if you guys don't know, Gabby Stockard, who works for the Jazz, has taken some unbelievable photos recently in the last couple of years. She's kind of the primary team photographer. And Haley over there is a really good photographer. They just have a lot of really talented people. The Jazz randomly have a bunch of really talented photographers. And they're all these really smart women. And I just was like, how do I get the lens cap off? So I felt like a major imposter playing with this camera that I had never used before.
How'd it go?
You know what? Cameras make it pretty easy now. They're pretty foolproof.
Turn it on?
Just point and click. And you take 50 at a time. You're going to get a couple of good photos.
All right.
And, I mean, they're standing at a – or sitting at a podium. Like, you know, sitting at a desk. It's not that hard to get good photos.
Well, you don't want to get Gary Bettman, like, picking his nose or something.
No. But I did realize, like, oh, it's hard to get all three of these people smiling at the same time.
Not
or
looking – like, one of them looking goofy?
Gary's not drinking water or one of them's not blinking. I'm like, oh, there's a lot, actually, that goes into this and framing and all kinds of stuff.
Real quick before you reset it, what we learned on Friday. How about Gary Bettman's day? Where he had to be at that press conference with the Moreno guy and then had to fly up to Salt Lake. How about that for a day?
If you want to ask me what my take is, that was my takeaway. Was, oh man, he had to Friday morning go sit with Alex Morello, who is unquestionably one of the biggest bozos in all of professional sports, is never going to get that team back down there. I hope the Coyotes return to Arizona. I hope Alex Morello has nothing to do with it. But to do that and then go up to Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith, who are probably everything you want in a young sports owner if you're a commissioner.
Well, seem to be pretty rock solid, yeah.
They have the money. They have the arena. They don't have two arenas. I know that ruffled some feathers for a lot of people. They wanted the team. They did everything they could to get the team. They fought for the team. Ryan has been down there. Ashley's been down there. They met with the players. They met with the coach. They met with the GM. Like, everything you could ever imagine wanting. You have a backup plan for the arena. You have a third backup plan for the arena. Like, you have all these different options that it's going to work out. And then behind it, you have a huge investor, Arctos, that put a bunch of money into owning the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh. One of the Pittsburgh teams. I can't remember which major league team. It's like, it's a dream situation for Gary Bettman. To go and sit on a stage with Alex Morello, who's railing against the media in his press conference of losing the team because he never got an arena knockdown or lockdown, to going to 22,000 season tickets already sold for a 14,000-seat building next to Ryan and Ashley Smith must be heavenly for Gary Bettman. That was my takeaway.
I would think so. I mean, they're looking for stability. And hockey's still in the phase where they can't scrutinize their owners like other leagues can. And sometimes it ends up well and sometimes it doesn't. Excuse me. I mean, look back. We talked about this with the 80s NBA where the league basically at the same time sold two franchises in LA to two real estate developers. And, I mean, they were desperate to do it.
Yeah.
The league was not on solid footing. I mean, they needed people to invest and buy these franchises. And so they probably picked two pretty risky owners to buy these things. And one turned out to be a home run. And one turned out to really be a failure. But not only the worst a failure, but like the worst kind of failure, where it was like, it was bad the whole way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And you know what? That is what Arizona was. Not in the same way.
But that's my point, is that the NHL, when they get somebody who's solid and has the financing and has the wherewithal and believes in the community that they're in and all the things come into to focus, well, the NHL is going to jump at that.
Yeah. Alex Morello was currently the biggest problem in the NHL.
Well, when he bought the Coyotes, I'm sure he wasn't their ideal candidate, but he's the one who said, oh, we're going to keep it here and we want to keep it here and this and that. And they said, okay, well, I don't know if we love you, but okay, we'll jump on board because we need it.
Or, you're a suitor. Or, yeah, you're a suitor.
Right, exactly. Whereas, you know, Ryan's even proven in the NBA so far to be an extremely stable owner.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So there's already a proof of concept there. I mean, it's ideal. I don't know if officially the NHL, Ben, did I miss this in the press conference? I don't know if they asked Ryan to do this, but this is definitely like a lifeboat type of situation for the NHL. I mean, he's coming in on good footing with the league because he's doing them a solid here.
There have been some things that have come out of Ryan Smith jumping on a grenade for the NHL,
yeah,
including sexual harassment stuff that was going on with ownership.
I hadn't seen that.
That was like the worst sexual harassment story they've had. And I think it was coming out of Arizona, but it wasn't Morello. So I want to be careful. It was not Morello. But I want to say it was like another owner in the area or a part owner. And honestly, I should know better. We can look it up quickly. But like from a PR campaign, Ryan Smith jumped on an enormous grenade for the NHL. And they are going to be very happy that he's a part of it. And then I thought the press conference was good, ultimately. If you haven't listened to it, we've got it up at kslsports.com. I know there's also a YouTube stream of it, but you can find it on our website. I thought it was interesting. I think there was a lot of consternation about the arena. But, yeah, they were very happy to have Ryan Smith up there. And he and Gary Bettman's a pretty straight shooter. You know, he used to be the lieutenant commissioner of the NBA under David Stern, who was also kind of a straight shooter, you know, but knows how to do this stuff as far as the 80s and 90s tough guy commissioner, more so than like Adam Silver. That's more where Gary Bettman comes from. Now, he's a little more human, maybe, than Adam, who's pretty buttoned up at times, but, you know, and so they exchanged some barbs, even Ryan Smith and Gary Bettman did on Friday, but it seems like a happy relationship.
Yeah, yikes. This does not look good, by the way.
Can you give us
the sexual assault thing? Well, here's the headline. New evidence emerged from a 2018 sexual assault case involving Canada hockey players, prompting arrest charges, police say.
Yeah, so there was just like a lot of bad stuff going on.
And our guy, Elliot Friedman, didn't he refer to this on Friday?
Yes,
or it was one of it was either he or one of the guests we had on the station. So, yeah, I know, but Phoenix has nothing to do with it.
My apologies.
The Coyotes.
Nothing to do with it.
No, nothing to do with it. So let's not take it there. But anyway, yeah, I think put this thing back on the tracks. Ryan Smith is doing the NHL a favor by doing this and providing stability to a franchise that had no stability, obviously. And that's a big deal. And now, honestly, he can either stick an expansion franchise back in Arizona or he can pick another market.
I suspect,
and we'll see.
He's been a big fan. Gary Bettman has been a big fan of Arizona. He's wanted to make it work there. I don't think he wants to make it work with Alex Morello. Kansas City. I mean, here's the thing, and I'm not going to try and hammer people today. We've got to stop worrying, though, about the second arena or what the team name is going
to
be.
Explain to me the controversy here. Are people just disappointed or what? What is?
I think when people thought that, OK, they're raising $900 million or whatever this is with this 0.5% sales tax increase, it's probably going to pass. I mean, it seems like it's going to pass. I mean, the governor and the mayor were both at the...
It passed. Past tense, right?
I think it's approved. I think there are still ways they got to work through spending. But regardless, we should get Lindsay Ertz from the KSL News side on to talk about it. She's been on with Hans and Scotty, if you haven't listened to it. I think a lot of people assumed that was going to build you a new building. Well, in all honesty, $900 million is not going to get you a building anymore. Now, there is other money coming in. Ryan's going to have his own money. But to get this to stay in downtown Salt Lake City, and this is what Ryan said on Friday, he said there's just not a square block they can buy and bulldoze. Now, maybe you could go to Pike Place, Kitty Corner to... where the Delta Center is right now, that big parking lot. Park Place.
This isn't Seattle.
Pike Place is in Seattle. Don't go there. That's really expensive. Park Place, which is just the parking lot, kitty corner, and right across from where we are right now. Maybe you could try and do it there, but like I don't even know how big that is compared to what the other land and other options are. And they just decided, you know what, $700 million, $900 million, whatever it costs to totally renovate and redo Delta Center is the best way to keep both teams in downtown Salt Lake City versus building a stadium in Bluffdale, which is what Ryan said was his original plan and said he wanted to do. And then everyone came up to him and said, no, it's got to be in Salt Lake. And Ryan probably realized, hey, I don't have to spend all my own money to get it done in Bluffdale. But you know what? Maybe they would have passed the sales tax increase out there or whatever they needed to get it built.
So, Sandy did.
Huh?
Sandy
yeah,
did.
Yeah, Sandy did. Right. Maybe they would have. Absolutely, maybe they would have. But the governor, the mayor, the county mayor, the city mayor, both spoke. Governor spoke, said it's got to be in Salt Lake. Has to be. This is the city center. It's where it has to be. It's where the Jazz have to stay. Because if the hockey team goes to Bluffdale, the Jazz go to Bluffdale.
Yeah, right.
So they've got to be here. The only way to do it reasonably is with a stadium in Salt Lake. Now, are we going to get another stadium in Bluffdale in 30 years, 20 years? Probably. That would be my guess. But if you get 20 years out of this, it's probably a good deal.
Yeah, I don't see why. Like, no, I don't see why people would be complaining all that much. I mean, if you saw the difference the last renovation made, it was like a whole new building.
Yeah, whole new building. And then
and if you're going even more extreme because they're going to have to fix a bunch of stuff, like really major stuff. Like sightlines and all this, like really major things. Well, I mean, it's basically going to be a new arena. I don't understand why people had an issue with that.
Blow the walls out behind the goals, the hockey goals or the basketball standards. Like they're going to blow those whole walls out.
Yeah, they're going
to have to make it really steep so you can actually see down into it, and it'll probably be a lot more shallow at the bottom, I would think, on the lower bowl, but I'm not sure. But they're going to make those areas behind the baskets really steep. And you're going to be able to see everything from there. And it's going to get up to, Ryan said, 17 to 17.5 for seating. I've heard 19,000 for basketball. He didn't mention that number on Friday. He didn't say basketball seating. That's what I've heard for basketball is 19,000. But yeah, they're going to have to blow half the building off.
But I don't know if this reassures anybody, but coming from somebody who has worked in that building for a very long time, and during the last renovation, you know, something that I believe it was Gail herself, but said that Larry had said was that the building has good bones.
Yeah.
And that was part of his thing building it. Like, I don't want to do this over and over again. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it to last, all those things. And I'll tell you, I believe that.
Absolutely.
I mean, as somebody who's honestly been in that building for a really long time, this isn't the Oakland, what's the Oakland Coliseum, like where they have to knock it down and start from scratch.
Right.
They have to
it's
do
not
it.
Not flooding, like, not a rat infestation.
Right. You remember when what dome was it in Seattle where the roof fell in one day? Or
yeah.
Or the one in Minnesota where they got the snow. Do you remember that famous video where the snow is just pouring? Like, that building's not there.
No, it's sound. It is very sound.
Right.
So I don't love the cement aesthetic personally. But
the point is, cement lasts forever.
It lasts forever, right? Exactly. It's a blank slate.
Right.
And it allows you to do a lot to it. And it allows you to not need a new arena every 15 years. And it's going to keep, most importantly, than anything, more than the name, more than a second arena, it keeps the teams in Salt Lake. Now, I'm sure we have Provo listeners. I'm sure we have Ogden listeners that say, like, yeah, bring it closer to us. Either way, the truth is, we're in the middle of the valley. We're in the middle of the Wasatch Front. Ogden's 40 minutes away. Provo's 40 minutes away. It makes a ton of sense. And they're going to be here, and it's a second major league franchise coming to Salt Lake City, and that is ultimately what's important, and I'm glad it's getting done.
And honestly, I love downtown Salt Lake, and I'm not, you know what, I really love downtown Ogden. Downtown Provo has its charms.
Sure, no, absolutely.
But I love downtown Salt Lake. It's where it should be, I think. And if they're going to invest in some of this specific neighborhood, that's probably a good thing, too.
Now, look. I think Ryan wants to blow a hole in First South and open up City Creek as a straight shot to the Delta Center. And where the front door of the Delta Center is going to be, I don't think it's going to be where the Jazz Node is right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think the whole idea is to change. And you've seen the renderings that Ryan tweeted out. We've got it again at kslsports.com. He wants to have a main street, basically, that pours out of all these different areas. Bravenel Hall, City Creek, whatever. Restaurants that pour into the Delta Center, or vice versa, Delta Center pours into if you're leaving the game after. And I think that's how he wants to revitalize Salt Lake City and give young people, really his players, but young people a new area to hang out in Salt Lake City that doesn't currently exist. I think that's his goal. I think that's what he wants. And again, Ryan gets things done. I mean, I was reading back on the article of Arctos jumping into this Jazz ownership group. August 16th, 2022. It's less than 2 years later, and he got the team. The whole idea was we're going to get another team. Everyone was like, okay, pie in the sky. Why was this some embargoed story that we couldn't talk about? There's always been, everyone's always talked about bringing a second team to Salt Lake. Whatever. He did it. So I would suspect that he will find a way to blow a hole in the convention center and get a straight shot from City Creek right down to right down to Delta Center.
But he's not building a whole new building, Ben. Come on.
He's not building a brand new. Look, an arena would have been cool. It would have been fun. It probably would have been double the taxes that we're talking about right now, if you could even find it. So, and it might have been 4 or 5 years out. It's going to be 2 seasons from the beginning of next year. Beginning of this coming season.
I do love the how dare you spend too much money, followed by the how dare you not spend enough money.
well, okay, so that, and that's the other part of it. Like, Ryan's not going to win. He won because he got the team, and Gary Bettman was sitting here on Friday at Delta Center congratulating he and Ashley for buying a new team. That was the only victory that matters. People are going to hate the name. People are going to hate the color. People are going to hate the arena. People are going to hate the Jazz. People are going to hate Ryan. I think he's okay with all of that.
Well, then
and
you got
to
move on with your life. Yeah.
Yeah. To be the face of a city one way or another, whether it's government, whether it's industry, you're going to have people who are critical of you. And he's done a good job of not bowing to that criticism.
Larry Miller was really good at it.
He was. And he took a ton of criticism. Yeah. I think we forget that when somebody's been gone as long as Larry's been gone. And Gail was very quiet compared to Larry. And even more quiet than Ryan is, certainly, that she didn't get much criticism. And she was just kind of in the honeymoon period of owning the Utah Jazz. But yeah, Larry got a ton of criticism. And so does Ryan. And I guess you just got to take it.
I thought the kids got a lot of criticism.
Absolutely they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of your thing.
It's if part of the business.
If you're going to own a sports team.
And that's not to say they do everything right. They don't.
No.
Ryan hasn't done everything right. But he's got an NHL team coming starting next year.
I'm pretty
excited.
Nice.
I'm excited about it. It was a cool press conference to be at on Friday night. So,
and I do think it's good for our community.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
It's enormously important.
Yeah, big time. All right, stay tuned. We'll have top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm so glad we're doing Fleetwood Mac today. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. We want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Time for the top three stories of the day at kslsports.com. Sarah, where do you want to start today?
Number one, the NBA playoffs continue tonight.
Good games over the weekend. A couple. No home team lost, so the playoffs haven't started yet, as a lot of people like to say. I don't know what the most surprising outcome was. Thunder struggled pretty badly last night. But, I mean, Dame had 33 in the first half and then didn't score in the second half, which I'm sure has never happened before in a playoff game. But he came out like gangbusters and looked very impressive as the Pacers were scared to be out there.
Haven't really been there before?
Haven't been there before. Not a lot of playoff experience outside of Pascal Siakam.
A bunch of teams in that category. Hilarious to watch D'Angelo Russell shoot the Lakers right out of a game.
And he'd been playing great over the second half of the season, and everyone was like, wow, this is the guy. And then just was awful. 1 of 9 from three, right?
Taking like an obscene shots at ridiculous times, too.
Very poorly timed.
Let D'Angelo cook.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to show signs that Darvin Ham probably doesn't know what he's doing, it's that sort of thing.
And doesn't know how to stop it. You know, doesn't know how to get the guys to buy in and be like,
hey,
well,
D'Angelo, sit down.
It's the playoffs now. We got to play the right way.
You're on LeBron's team. Anthony Davis, what are you doing?
One of my overarching takeaways that probably applies to the Jazz and is a terrible overreaction after one game, which is, oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, like, taking your lumps in the playoffs matters. And Jazz might be good and put it together at some point in the next couple of years. And then you're like, oh, this team's finally got it. They could still lose in 5 games in the first round because you got to learn how to do it. So don't overinvest on just like all of a sudden building up and making it a 1-year run. Like, I know the Jazz want to win playoff series and that's when they want to invest in the team. Like, sometimes that just takes a while.
Predictably, Cleveland and Orlando is going to be ugly.
Ugly.
It's going to be
Orlando
ugly.
Actually was better than the final score indicates. They have no answer for Donovan Mitchell, even though their defenders were out there, and they're a really good defensive team. And their biggest problem is they just can't match Donovan's scoring. It's not that they can't stop him. It's just that they need a guard that can go out and get 20, 25 of their own, and they don't have that player.
No. They scored 15 points in the second quarter and 17 points in the third, and if you go on a stretch like that, you're going to lose the game.
Two most disappointing teams, I thought, over the weekend were the two teams that were getting all this hype about how much better they were playing going into the playoffs. Dallas Mavericks, who, look up that box score, I believe they scored 8 points in the third quarter. Not Luka scored eight.
Second quarter.
8 points in the second quarter from the Dallas Mavericks. Not Luka, not Kyrie, the team.
Yeah.
Wow. They were atrocious in the first half, and that was a Clippers team that was playing without Kawhi Leonard. And then the Suns, who, like, it ended up being a 25-point loss. It wasn't 25 points the whole game, but it was never close. It was never close, and there was all this talk about, well, the Suns can hit mid-range shots, and Rudy can't defend the mid-range. It was like, well, Quinn didn't let him defend the mid-range, but Rudy can do all these things that Quinn didn't ask the Jazz defense to do, and that's not saying Quinn wasn't doing some things right, but he was also doing some things wrong.
It wasn't the game plan,
and the Suns looked old again. Devin Booker was atrocious, and Anthony Edwards was awesome. Yeah.
Well, they are old.
They're old, and they're bad. They've been bad all year.
Can I tell you what, though? I liked Kevin Durant's response to Anthony Edwards kind of being excited and
yelling in his face,
letting it fly, where he smiled when it was happening, and then after the game, he's like, yeah, it's just, he had a big shot.
Yeah. You know?
Good for him.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have grown to really enjoy Kevin Durant off the floor.
He's a maniac, but I like that. Well, not a maniac. That's too harsh. he's got rabbit ears so badly. It's a crazy thing to watch. So Maniac's not it, but I don't know why somebody would subject themselves to that and like thrive off of it. And I guess Rudy does that too. There are people out there that do it, like, that just
But Rudy's whole thing is having a chip on his shoulder. Kevin Durant is, don't you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. Like, yeah, why is he is so interactive on Twitter and answering criticism, and he does it more than any star player, and it's a little bizarre.
But I liked that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, he was good. And, yeah, do it on the court. Just don't do it to the fans. I don't get that.
But yeah, Anthony Edwards is, he's awesome.
Tonight, Orlando-Cleveland. Of course, that's the NBA TV game. Philly-Knicks. Joel was dominant when he was on the floor. Got hurt, but came back. That's a good sign. Jalen Brunson was terrible. Knicks still found a way to win. That's a good sign. Lakers about to fall 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets.
Man, get Tom Thibodeau off my TV. Have a little more self-respect for the TV viewer.
You want plugs or what are you thinking? A hat?
Nothing. You're bald, bro.
Oh, okay. Baldy.
Or throw on a tube.
Bucket hat? Oh, a tube.
Go John Crotty style.
Ted Danson. Like... Crotty catching strays.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not just the hair. It's the, like, put it together a little bit.
You know what? Honestly.
You're on TV.
Can I give you my hot take, my David Stern hot take? We got to get the coaches back in suits.
I don't disagree.
Come on. We're not at a high school practice.
No, let's have a little pride.
Some decorum.
A little self-respect. Decorum.
The players don't have to. And you know what? The players still dress well going into the arena because it's become a style thing. It's become a style aspect. Not everyone does, but enough do. Let's get the coaches back in suits. I know some of them are going to hate it, but we got to stop with the all-black sweatsuit. Come on. Let's bump it up a little bit. Please.
Next.
Number two, the Delta Center announces an NHL welcome party.
Players are going to be there on Wednesday. It sounds like hot dogs, 5,000 tickets they're giving away for a preseason game. It's going to be fun. Sounds like it's going to be a big party. I would hope a lot of people turn out, but the interest is clearly there. I don't think Ryan's going to have a hard time selling tickets to the NHL for a couple of years. And Ryan even joked that our first year, it's up to us. And he was talking to the players and he said, the second year, it's up to you. Talking to the players. Like, we will get the fans there year one. You've got to get them there after that. And he's right. Now, you know, he's got to pay for free agents and he's got to keep players around. He's got to get good coaching and they have a good coach now. But yeah, they've got to deliver a good product. But the first year, it's going to be a honeymoon period and everyone's going to be happy.
I want to know what a hockey party's all about. Are they going to have Molson on ice?
Well, they'll have the ice out. I mean, the ice was out the other night, which was cool. I'm not sure how heavily they'll lean into that.
I haven't seen a Molson pull tab over at the...
Oh, they'll have to.
Many, I mean...
If people don't know, it's Northwestern / Canadian beer.
I don't know where it's actually...
That is quite popular in that area and, of course, Canada.
Right. So you're going to have at least a couple of Molson pulls.
It's part
now.
Of the culture. Yeah. It's a part of the hockey culture. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
At the party, you know, like my dad's from Virginia, right? And so it's funny. Whenever he goes back to the South, he kind of leans into the Southern accent thing. Uh-huh. Like he's here in Utah and there's not a hint of it. But, you know, go back there and it's kind of one of those sorts of things. At the party, are we going to have a bunch of, like, Northern Midwestern accents just randomly falling out of people.
Oh,
you know, people.
Greg Rubel's going to show up, and all of a sudden, the Canadian's going to come out.
Like people who moved here from Minneapolis like 20 years ago are all of a sudden going to just lean right back
I'm
into
all
it.
About
you know
the hockey.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all about it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah, get your bags.
All right, what's next?
Number three, the NFL draft is just a couple days away.
Of the many things we haven't talked about a whole lot this spring that we have talked about more in years past, spring football, the NFL draft, we haven't because local college basketball has been so interesting, and now there's an NHL team coming. This is funny. This has felt like it's really sneaked up on me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that Fingernails is going to the Bears, which also takes some of the steam out of it.
It's Caleb Williams for those in the know.
Well, he painted his fingernails that...
We have three people on the show that are characters that are known only specifically for body parts. Do you know who they are?
Armpit McPhee, fingernails,
and Tiny Hands.
Oh yeah, Kenny Pickett.
We have three Tiny people hands. That we only talk about based on their physical attributes.
Well, it's all somewhat unique, don't you think? Like Pat McAfee, Armpit used to wear nothing but tank tops on national television. Speaking of decorum.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself one day, like, that's got to be the most famous armpit in the world. Like, okay. No armpit on the planet is getting more attention than that one.
Sure.
which I still think is true, although he wears t-shirts all
more
the time
shirts now.
Yeah. And then tiny hands, that's, I mean, you can't go to the combine and get that measurement and get that narrative coming out and not have people remember that.
By the way, he's out, right?
First thing I think, oh, well, in Pittsburgh he is.
Yeah, he's a backup.
That's the first thing I think of when I hear that name. It's like, oh, the tiniest little toddler
little
hands.
Baby hands, yeah.
Little baby hands.
Tiny hands pick it. And then fingernails.
And now fingernails. Who paints bleep insert opponent here on their fingernails before every game? Like, there's a reason that coaches bend over backwards not to give. I mean, the Lou Holtz thing is a thing for a reason, where you talk about your other opponent like they are the 85 Bears. Oh, I don't know how we're going to win.
Yeah.
But Lou, you're playing against Southeastern Ohio. Oh, man, have you seen these guys on film? Holy cow. It's because you don't give the other team anything to...
Nothing.
Nothing. So anyway, he's going to the Bears, which I think is great because that's where quarterbacks go to fail. So if he can truly overcome there, he'll be one of the greats for sure.
I'll be curious what types of trade-up options there are for players and who's trying to move up to get Jaden Daniels.
Well, the rumor is he doesn't want to go to the Commies.
Doesn't want to go to the Commanders. Commanders have the second pick, is that right?
They do, and Ben, they might be a bit of a mess. Have you read into their decision-making apparatus there? They got a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Well, they don't they have the former...
Bob Myers,
Bob
yeah.
Bob Myers, the former right. Warriors GM.
He's the new owner's kind of Rasputin.
J.J. McCarthy from Michigan doesn't want to go there. He wants to go to the Vikings. He sees that as an opportunity to beat out Jaren Hall and get a starting job. So, yeah, I'll be curious where this all ends up going. No one wants to go play for Washington, though, you're right.
Isn't that amazing that if you're a quarterback and truly where you land matters? I mean, what type of situation you're going to land in really matters. Man, it's I don't know where I'd least rather go, the Commies or the Bears.
So we've got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy are the four projected first-rounders.
And then the Pac-12 guys after that. That's kind of...
Bo Nix, yeah. Et cetera. Bo Nix might be late first, early second, which is probably a really good spot for him. And if he ends up being the, you know, second best player out of this bunch, would anyone be surprised?
Penix is apparently...
Oh, Penix is awesome.
He's apparently on the climb. People are liking him.
Yeah, someone smart draft him late in the first round with, you know, your somewhat aging quarterback and Jordan Love him.
So let's see. CBS has McCarthy going 11th. They have Drake May going 3 to the Patriots, Jaden Daniels 2 to the Commies, and then Caleb Williams 1.
Where did Marvin Williams go?
4.
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Williams is the former
I knew who you were
Marvin Harrison
talking about.
Jr. Pardon
He's
me.
Going 4 to the Cardinals.
Probably the best player in the draft. Oof, don't go to Cardinals. Come on.
Well, that's fingernail slander right there. How dare you think that he's better than...
Forcing a quarterback with a number one pick? Whoever does that? When has that ever happened?
I don't know. It's unfair for me to root against, I feel like, Caleb Williams, but yet I am, because he's the poster child for so many things that I don't like.
You know what he is? It's kind of funny. He's like the first real Gen Z superstar athlete. Anthony Edwards is probably right there too, but Caleb Williams is even younger and more involved in that, which is the like painting his fingernails pink and people being like, oh, what does that mean?
Are it's they
like,
even a Gen Z? What's the next one after?
Alpha? I don't think he's alpha. He might be.
Because aren't you Gen Z?
No, I'm millennial.
I'm pretty sure I'm at the bottom end of millennial. You're...
I'm mid-millennial. Late millennial is like 90, 91, right? And I was 86, so.
Oh, I'm early millennial.
Yeah, you're very early. You're like right on the edge.
Early millennial, right.
That's why you still have some of that stinky Gen X on you.
Okay, whatever.
But he's a real Gen Z kid, which is, they're just, it's different.
I honestly
every generation's different.
I don't care about the pink thing.
No, of course
it's
not.
It's the, if you're not smart enough to know that you shouldn't do that to give the other team ammunition, then I don't know what to tell you.
I'm somewhat rooting for Caleb Williams, and also...
And by the way, my dislike for him comes from following Stinkin from Oklahoma, which I found annoying. He was the NIL flag bearer, which I don't like the policy. I don't. It's not his fault, but no. I don't like it.
I hate that he wouldn't shake people's hands after games.
Yes.
I hate that he would pout on the bench. I hate that he always had excuses for losses. Like, I hate a lot of those things that lack...
And of course, hate is always a strong term. We're saying sports hate here, which I
don't hate
you
Caleb
always
Williams.
Have to, yeah,
I hate
you
it
always
in
have
sports.
To explain the difference because people are like, oh, you hate that? It's like, no, no. Hate in sports, hater, different thing.
Yes. I hate seeing that in sports. You lose, go talk about it. I'm sorry. You're the superstar, especially now with NIL. You are getting millions of dollars. You can go sit at a press conference for 8 minutes and say, I didn't play well enough. Or this is what happened. Or this is what Utah did well. Or whoever. I mean, five teams beat them this year. This is what they did to us. This is why we didn't have success. This is what we need to do differently. This is what I saw, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? It's going to make you better, Caleb. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better athlete.
Also, if you're going to be consoled by your mother, take it into the tunnel. There on national TV is just
there are
not,
some question marks. And then there are weird things of how often he just kind of seemed to cough up the ball in clutch situations. Just like bringing the ball back to throw it.
Well, yeah, and stepping up
does
there.
Does he have some Kenny Pickett hands? I don't know what's going on.
The next year when you were asked about the Utah loss in the championship game, you're like, oh, did you see my leg? It was barely hanging on. Okay. Could barely walk out there.
Okay. So there are some major red flags, which could, if they show up in the NFL, will look even brighter.
Just keep in mind, though, and I say this, I feel like, before every draft, that everybody gets so excited about these quarterbacks and think that they're going to be the next greatest thing. Like, at least half of them are going to be drummed out of the league. There's probably going to be one average and maybe one hit. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to look at the last time we had, like, a universally great quarterback draft.
Everybody says that the draft is going to be what it was, the Dan Marino one, you know, 83 yeah, or yeah. whatever it was. And then everybody's, it's going to be the next one. And then it never is. I remember when Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith, and Cade McNown were all coming out of college. And everybody, step past one since 83. And it's like, oh, well, McNabb was pretty good. Cade was drummed out of the league. Akili Smith.
2020 was a great quarterback draft. Joe Burrow went one. Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. There were some really good quarterbacks in that draft. That was a good draft. I'll take that.
Look at the Zach Wilson one. That's the one everybody was like, oh, all these guys are just home runs.
Brutal.
And what's his name? Trevor Lawrence looks like he can be a dude. But everybody else, it's like, yeah. I don't know, man.
So I doubt this is 2020.
Is Zach still a Jet?
Sarah yeah,
just goes, I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to try and trade him before the draft, or they're going to bring him back. They're going to ruin his career.
Oh, man.
They're dead set on ruining his career. Man, okay, 2020, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts in one draft. That's starters in the league right now.
Yeah, that's a great draft. That's a great draft.
Give me one of those. I'll take that.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop.
Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's our 50th segment. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Ben, also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the station all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Ben, you and I both have a couple of experiments in sports that we kind of keeping our eye on to see if they work, right?
Okay.
You and I both are curious about the Magic. Can you have a whole team full of interchangeable
6'7" players?
Yeah, right. Does that work?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm intrigued. Rudy playing with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards is a really interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of obviously been following that one. The other one, though, that we like is that Deion Sanders and his act, will it work coaching college football? Because he's doing a reality show.
Sure.
Is basically the idea. Well, they lost one of their corners. Cormani McClain.
Who, for some reason, with all due respect, considered BYU for a minute.
Did he?
He was the number two, I think, recruit in the country, top cornerback.
Yeah, five-star defensive back.
BYU in his top five at one point, but regardless, neither here nor there.
And his reasoning, he said, quote, "I just don't want to play for clicks," unquote. Because it'd be one thing to be like, oh, I want to go here and I'm going to, because I want to get a ton of attention. It'd be another thing like, oh, this isn't real. This is just about getting a ton of attention.
I have to admit, and you made fun of me for it, and you were right, I enjoyed the hell out of the Deion experience for the first 5 weeks. And then it collapsed. Weren't they 5-0? Something crazy like that? And they lost their last seven straight.
And they lost out, yeah.
And then we went back and realized, like, oh, you beat Nebraska?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody. TCU was terrible this year.
And didn't they give USC, like, a run for their money in there somewhere,
and then
too?
USC's
played
awful.
Played them close,
yeah.
And then they turned out to stink. Yeah, it was a total
fool's gold.
Yeah.
Early in the season. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Absolutely no chance it works. Absolutely no chance it's going to work.
I don't think so either.
Now, again, what do we want to define as working? You know who it's working for?
Deion.
Primetime.
Yes, it is.
He is selling sunglasses. Remember, he sold like $2 million in sunglasses in one weekend because he wore them on a Friday, and by Sunday they had sold out. Like, he's great at that. This has been great for Primetime. This is going to be great for Shadur. He's getting a ton of NIL money. He's taking care of his kids.
It's honestly great for Colorado because they've never
mattered. Well, have mattered in 20 plus years.
Like, their donors have got to be energized, right? I mean, that was a big thing. Like, they are ponying up all this dough or whatever. So that ultimately, I think, will be good for the program. But as far as Deion and being a football coach, yeah, I don't blame it. And I don't know the inner workings, I suppose. But what I hear is that Deion plays this character and then doesn't really... You know, I think the best coaches would tell you, the very best ones, is they find whatever way they can to identify with their players, to make a connection. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure Deion's interested in any of that.
He likes connecting, with his sons.
Maybe.
And you only have so many of those.
Putting his sons aside for a moment.
You only have so many of those. That's his best product right now is Shador, right? I mean, that's his best product right now. And Shiloh was pretty good too. But that is what he does best, is have those kids. And with them, he's brought some attention and brought some recruits with him and hasn't won with them. I had predicted, you remember, it's going to be, what did I say, 24 months for Deion, because it was going to be boom or bust. He was either so bad that you had to get rid of him.
Or so good that
Florida State hired him. Somehow he's done both at the same time.
Well, they might be stuck with him for 6 years.
Yeah, the boom is there
because
he's so exciting, and the bust is there because there's such a joke on the field and the players are not going to want to be there.
But they might not be able to fire him.
They might have to stick with him. I hadn't considered what if both boom and bust can happen at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And they are doing that.
I know.
Which is, I like being proven wrong.
Well, this one, I mean, it's certainly not going to be a boom.
No, I'm far more on the bust, but how do you fire him? Because they're not going to have the money to pay him out to leave.
No, I don't think they can fire him.
And the donors that like him are going to be too happy to keep him around. The people who want to
go on a yacht, want to get on the plane, and he's
still going to get occasional five-star recruits that they were never going to get otherwise at Colorado. He really has some John Calipari to him. He really has a little bit of that. It's kind of interesting.
Except for that John Calipari wasn't like... not only a legend basketball player, but like a pop culture figure.
No, you're right.
Like Deion Sanders, I mean, obviously you remember, Ben, but during his run was
the show.
He was the coolest player in the league.
Yes,
I don't know
was.
If he was the most popular. I don't know how you define that. But as far as like cultural icon, coolest player in the league was Deion Sanders. And it's probably not even close. And that charisma, that character that he created way back then is still the character he's playing today. I have no idea if that's the real guy. I would guess not. But does the character itself propel a college football program to greatness? I don't think it's going to work.
No, you're right. But the ability to bring in recruits will keep him, will give him some job security even if he doesn't do enough with them.
At some point, though, they're going to have to win. And I'm with you. I don't think he can do it. But how do you fire him? I don't know.
Maybe they can win in the Big 12. I don't believe it, but...
But all these big-time donors, my point is, all these big-time donors want to be close to Deion Sanders.
Yeah, they want
to hang with Deion and the cool guy. And that is a weird concept to me, but it definitely exists.
And it's never going to go away.
No. All right, stay tuned. More Jake and Ben coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.